This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to the Toy Foundation Art Space in Conversation series, where we showcase our emerging Taranaki artist on display in our studios this month. You'll find the exhibition on the ground level at the Top Town Cinema Complex. Let's catch up with them now.
Kia ora and welcome to Art Space in Conversation. This is normally hosted by the lovely Phil Spear, but today we are having a kōrero with his wonderful partner, so Phil has asked me to jump in. My name is Taryn, and today we have the beautiful Franzi Marche in here from Imagine Play Inspire. Kia ora, Franzi.
Kia ora, Taryn. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. You are our guest artist this month for Art Space, and I was having a look at your art on our way into our kōrero. It's very colourful and very vibrant and definitely worth a look. What can you tell us about it?
Well, first of all, I should probably say I can't claim to be the artist of this particular work. So the canvases that are displayed here at the moment, they have been created by very many tamariki last year as part of an event in Pukekura Park that we did with Sport Taranaki.
That is so cool.
It was so much fun, yeah.
That is so awesome. How many children?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't counted them, but the event was from when do we start? Like 9:30 to 12? 9 to 12,
I think. Oh, wow. So potentially like hundreds.
Lots. Yeah. We had lots of families through, all ages as well. Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. And so it was a free event for kids to come along and...
Yeah, so organized by Sport Taranaki, they had applied for funding, and it was the second year in a row that we were part of with Imagine Play Inspire. And we had set up four stations where the children and their parents as well could get creative and express themselves and explore with different materials.
That is really lovely. That is really lovely. And kudos to Sport Taranaki for organising something like that as well.
Yeah, big shout out to Hester Stratton. She's a huge advocate for play in the region. And
that is so good. And it's so good as well. I think when I was little, like sport focused on sport and art focused on art. And it's so lovely to see that crossover because our children are all of those things, you know. Each of us are all of those things.
100%, yeah.
That's so good of them. I'll have to keep an eye out for the next one.
Yeah, hopefully we'll go ahead again this year.
Yeah. So speaking of Imagine, Play, Inspire, I've actually been along to a couple of your events with my little one, with Fox, and they are awesome. They are so much fun. So you come along and you bring your little ones, and there's all these beautiful things for them to create with, and there's like big logs to paint, and there's foam. And
lots of, many opportunities to get messy, for sure.
Yes, exactly. So for people out there who don't know what Imagine Play Inspire is and what you do, can you tell us, like, what is this magic thing?
Yeah, so thanks for calling it a magic. I love that. So Imagine Play Inspire is meant to be a space, and even though it's not a physical location as such, but it's about providing a space and a time for children and more so adults now as well to get creative without focusing on a specific outcome. It's about process of a product and waking up that inner creative that we're all born with. And it started with the toddler playgroups that you attended.
Yes.
A year ago?
Yeah, Fox has just turned six, so it would have been like 2 years ago,
Yeah, it's interesting because that was what we started with, and now it's grown into after-school classes and
holiday programs.
School holiday programs, a lot of community
and adult
collaborations.
Events.
Yeah, workshops for adults.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's great, and it's just beautiful seeing what happens when it's like giving yourself permission to make a mess, to make mistakes, and to not create something that looks a certain way. And Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's huge because we spend, like, one of my favorite things to do with Fox is to just create whatever, just use whatever we've got around home. Sometimes we're painting with turmeric or, amazing. So like, he'll cut up the things that would normally go in the rubbish and we'll make stuff with it and we'll get leaves from outside. And at the moment he's creating artwork with cicada shells.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, like just the imagination and the fun of it is not in the final product. It's in the process of creating it.
Yeah.
It's unlocking those things in his brain and letting him just play.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. And it's so different to how I think as adults we've kind of become accustomed to, unless the final product is something like amazing, there's no point in doing it, that's not good. It's not good for our sense of self. It's not good for our brains. It's not even good for the kind of world we want to live in.
Yeah, right? 100%. I like to say that being creative or undertaking, being in a creative process, making just to make, is kind of like superfood for our well-being. And there's this learning, this connection to others and connection to self. There's things that come up when we're doing art without focusing on the outcome that might not have been conscious to us before. So there's a lot of self-reflection that can happen when you do art with others. There's also the play, the joy, the connection that you get being in person in the creative process with other people. And I think that's something that people are seeking out more and more now because it has become less.
It has.
Yeah.
It's almost kind of like trained out of us because we want people to be productive parts of an economy, really. I don't know. Yeah. Like, it feels like sometimes that creativity and like just abundant playfulness isn't always encouraged. So to have a space where it is the primary focus, it's so important because there does seem to be this renaissance of people wanting to go back to doing things that bring them joy, to doing things that spark your brain, not just doing things that pay the bills.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and so your recent addition to Imagine Play Inspire is adult, I don't want to say classes, but
I know, like, even with the after school classes, I don't like calling it that because it's not a class in the traditional sense. Sometimes I call it a session. But then to help people find these offers, you have to sometimes use the words that they're looking for, which is with art classes for kids.
That is
people
true.
People call it a class. And with the adults, so I guess it's like a workshop. So we did, what was the recent one, at One Burgess Hill, an afternoon, 4 hours of creative exploration. So we played different games that encourage you to let go of the inner critic and perfectionism, that helped you connect with the other partner that you were playing the game with and just, relax and loosen up a little bit. And then we had, similar to the class actually you attended with Fox, where there were different mark-making tools other than brushes and a huge, like the whole table was covered with a big paper roll, and the adults were encouraged to just explore with the paint and what marks can they leave with the bubble wrap and with the toothpick and all these kinds of things. And yeah, it was so cool just seeing how they approached it with a really curious and playful attitude. And just having, 9 women just exploring creatively and relaxing into it. And by the end of it, they left and they said, I could have done this all day.
That's lovely. It's good for the soul too. Like I can, as a mum who works and has a little one, and like space like that is kind of sacred.
Yeah, like, and that's what the feedback was as well. Like one woman said, this was so nice to go somewhere, be with other adults and not talk about work and not having to, because you have to be switched on all the time, right?
Yeah.
And to not be, or to you still switched on, but in a different sense, more present and slower and really leaning into a more sensory experience.
Oh, that's lovely. And I know I'm fortunate enough to work with your lovely partner, Phil. Mm. And you, before you did this class or this session, you did a trial.
Yes, we did one together. Yeah.
And Phil told us all about it, and he brought in the pictures of the artwork that you created. And I know you say it's not about the final product, but that was a really cool final product.
I know, and I think that's the funny part is so often, and that's in work contexts as well, when we have a product, an outcome we work towards, but we allow ourselves to not get too attached and instead play and enjoy the process and also enjoy the struggle that comes with it, because that's also part. You create something that you can be proud of at the end.
Yes.
So it's kind of this, what's the word, like contradiction that's happening. But it's true.
Yeah,
I see it quite a bit when I work with the children as well, when they are just going for it. And often the younger the children are, the more they do that. They just go for it and they come up with something that's just amazing. And they just then start cutting it up or ripping it up. And they're like, I don't want this. I put this in the bin. And I'm like, no. But okay, you do you. And it is that really love for the process and detachment from the outcome.
It's funny, speaking of the outcome, I've got a little tattoo here on my my arm, and it is the first picture that my son drew that I could kind of like recognize what it was. And so it was on the Magna Doodle, and I took a photo of it, and I was like, I'm going to get that tattooed on me.
Oh, cool.
And within a few minutes of it being made, like, I wanted to keep it forever, and Fox was like, no, mummy, and like wiped it out, and it was gone. And then I didn't say anything, but I took this picture and I got it tattooed, and I picked him up from kindy, and I was like, look, Fox. And he was like, no, mummy, that's my picture. Oh. Take it off. Oh. It's meant to be erased, you know? Like, he didn't hold on to it the same way that I did. Yeah. Like, it's so interesting. Yeah.
I remember once it was a birthday party that I did through Imagine Play Inspire, and there was a child who just did this intricate painting on his canvas really carefully with a fine brush, and it was beautiful. And the mum and I were standing and we saw it, and then the next minute he grabbed the blue paint and the biggest brush possible and covered the entire picture in blue. And we were like, it's okay, it's their choice.
It is. That's amazing though, isn't it?
It is.
The freedom.
Yeah, the freedom, and just reminding yourself, like, I still have the inner voice in me as well, and sometimes I have to remind myself in these art classes it's not about them going home with the most amazing thing, which I think I can see how that's nice as a parent too, because then you can see there's something tangible, this is what my child has done, they've created this. But to just remind myself, you're doing this because you know the value of the process for them, and I have to remind
absolutely
myself often.
And I think as well, finding or acknowledging or leaning into the value of the process helps with perfectionism.
100%,
because that's the thing I see a lot. And I think, you know, growing up when we did, I was an 80s baby, I spent a lot of my childhood like feeling like I had to be perfect.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I'm still working on
it's
that one.
It's hard. Same. Yeah. And the anxiety that like almost consumed my life because of that.
I think that is why I do this. You know, they say, what's the saying? Like, a lot of people put out in the world what they are working on themselves. Yes. And I'm definitely, perfectionism. And even when hanging up the canvases here, I noticed that with myself. Like the distance is not quite equal. Like, I need to change things around, like with the nails, and I have to, it's got to be perfect. And then I thought, actually, does it? Yeah. Does it have to be? Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, eh? Mm. So I'm really grateful that there's this space that celebrates the process and that the imperfect process of what makes us all even more magic.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well, and that's what I try to tell the children in the classes as well, is I always say that when they're creating something, I emphasize, oh wow, look how different they all are, how unique, because that's what you want them to keep and hold on to, is their unique, their quirks, their differences. It's how they see the world, it matters. And it's we don't want it all to be the same. And
Because at the end of the day, I think about the people who are going to change. Like Fox is a really different kid. He's so creative and he's sensitive and he, you know, he's just different to what I expected a little kid to be like. And I love that for him because these are the kind of people who see the world differently and are going to one day make it a better place, you know? Like, that's why we want our kids to, we don't want them crippled with anxiety like, like us.
Yes.
We want them to be the beautiful change makers who make the world a lovely, creative, wonderful place to live in.
Yeah, and to believe in their voice and to give them the confidence to express their voice while being kind to and respectful to others, right? So it's this balance.
How did you get into this?
How much time do we have?
We've got about 15 minutes.
How did I get into this? I feel like it's just like a chain reaction of experiences and events in my life. I do have a teaching background, so I've always been drawn to working with young kids from, I think, when I was a teenager, I remember saying to my mum, I want to be a teacher. I want to be, and working with younger kids, especially, because I don't know how I made this connection, but I remember cycling past, I grew up in a small town in Germany, and I had to cycle everywhere, and I cycled past this high school when I was a teenager myself, and I just remember thinking, overhearing conversations, I'm thinking how rude these children were, and I was like, I kind of don't want to work with, because I feel like it's too late, and it's not, you know, there's still a lot of work that can be done, I'm not saying like, and I appreciate every high school teacher out there, I know I couldn't do it, and I always had this thought that to start earlier, to have as much impact as possible. And then later on I learned, there is something like brain science and research that shows actually that what happens in the early years hugely sets us up for later in life and how these relationships, the adults in your life in your first years are so important. And then I studied culture and media education and worked a lot with different age groups of young children in schools and preschools. And so that was using arts and theater and media, like we did a bit of radio and a bit of TV as well, but using these things to do projects that support whatever needs support, like those groups. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That would have been.
Yeah.
That's important, Mahi.
It was great. Yeah, I remember there were everyone who asked me while I was studying, so what are you going to do when you're finished? It's one of those programs where you don't come out with, I'm going to be, you know, like a doctor or just a specific role. You kind of have to make your own path. And yeah, I ended up being a teacher at a preschool in Hamburg, a private one that was looking for a mix of people with different backgrounds. So they had the traditional teachers that went through, I guess, what would be the equivalent, like teaching college maybe.
Yeah.
And then people who went to university with different academic, like arts or subjects that they, so you had that combined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, really, really cool. And I loved teaching there, yeah. In Germany, children go to preschool until they're six, which I think is great.
Yeah, so do I. Fox started at 5.5, and I would have kept him out till six of it, but
it's hard.
It was an out-of-zone enrollment, so we had to take the spot.
It's hard when the whole social feel, like everyone goes to school at five. It's like it's hard to break out of that.
Yeah, it is. But there's all that research about how children aren't, you know, ready for academic learning until they're like 7 or 8 anyway. And so it breaks me when I think about children having to sit still on the mat at six and stuff. Hard.
It's hard. Yeah, but that was, so in the preschool, they went until they're six, and we also had kids went full-time to preschool. So it's quite common for children, Monday to Friday from quite early, like 7 maybe, 7:38 till 4:35.
Wow.
Yeah, long days. And so sometimes you had more time with the children than the parents, right? Both working parents and so you really got to build those relationships. And after 3 years of working there and then seeing them like move on to school, or that like when I left,
I would have cried.
It was, yeah, there were tears in there. It was so, like, I still remember, I see these children. And I think also because it was my first big real job. So there's that as well. But yeah, you're working with people. And whenever you do that, I think you can't not have a relationship.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And so then, how old were you when you came to New Zealand?
New Zealand? I think I was 26, 27, turning 27. So 11 years ago.
Yeah.
I thought I'll do it like one last time because I had moved into the center manager, head teacher role.
Yeah.
It all got really serious, really fast, and really stressful.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Especially in teaching, it's
Oh my
tough.
Gosh, yeah, I feel it.
And I thought, okay, well, I'm young, and I'm not ready for that level of responsibility and stress. And I thought, okay, I traveled before during my studies and after high school, so I said to myself, I want to go as far away as possible and experience a country that I wouldn't easily otherwise. Like, yeah, one last time before I do the whole settling down thing.
Oh, wow.
And I thought I'd be back before Christmas. And
Wow. So you would like just coming for a visit.
Yeah. Working holiday, the story of many.
Wow.
So I traveled around, yeah, based myself in Queenstown. And
wow, nice.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And an interesting phase as well, just working in hospitality and...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and retail, learned a lot.
Yeah, you would have. And obviously fell in love with Aotearoa.
Yeah, and from the moment I left the plane, I keep joking about it, but it's still, I can still feel it in my body, that sense of arrival that I had. And I initially thought, oh, this is just me... traveling, you know, the travel honeymoon phase where everything's new, it's novel, it's exciting. This is fine, it's gonna pass. And it didn't. And just everyone I met and all the opportunities that kind of fell, it's just things falling into place. And yeah, and then meeting people in Queenstown who live life differently. And I was like, okay, I think I might not have to go back. Like, no one's telling me that this is how I must live my life. If I want to do it differently, there's possibilities. Like, yeah.
That's amazing.
It was a rocky road from then onwards, but
you make a decision and then you're like, okay, now I have to actually...
So how do I do this?
how do I buy food? What's my job?
What's the visa situation?
Oh my gosh, Yeah, I've had a couple of friends go through that. It's not just like a process that is difficult paperwork-wise.
Mm.
It's expensive too.
Yeah.
It's so much money.
Yeah, 100%. I remember there were a lot of people there for the ski season every year in Queenstown and snowboarding.
Yes.
And made a lot of friends, and they were like, oh, are you coming up the mountain like this season? I'm like, oh, I'm not going to buy a season pass this year. It's going to go, the money's going towards immigration. And that was kind of the story almost every year.
Yeah. Worth it though?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Good. And then what brought you to Taranaki?
What brought me here? I knew Queenstown wasn't my forever. Once I knew I wanted to stay in New Zealand and like make a home here, I knew it wasn't going to be, even though it's beautiful, and I actually lived in Arrowtown, so it's
living
in a postcard.
Yeah. It was really nice.
Yeah, I loved the community. I loved everything.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I missed the sea, even though I didn't grow up by the sea.
Oh, yes, because you're into surfing, aren't you?
Yeah. And I just feel really drawn to the ocean, and I'm a bit of a sea salt addict.
Oh, I love that.
And I said to myself, I would love to find an Arrowtown by the sea. Oh. And so that was kind of my vision that I had for myself, like a small town somewhere coastal. And I looked at Kaikoura, I looked at up north, Maunganui, just like on paper, and some of the places I had visited, but not all of them. So then, oh, there was COVID in between all of that as well. That's right, because I resigned from my hospitality job, and I was like, I'm gonna go for a few months. I go traveling, I go back home, spend some time with my family, go to Australia, and then come back and make the whole plan about where I'm gonna go. So I booked my flights and everything, but then COVID came. And there was no job, no travel. And I was like, what am I going to do? I found a very lovely family in Wanaka that I did some au pairing for once we could open the bubbles. The bubble.
Yeah, it was.
So I based myself in Wanaka, and they gave me some time to, like, a bit of safety and security to then make a, like, reset and make a plan.
Yeah, the world slowed down, so you need to.
Yeah, 100%. That helped in a way. And then I enrolled into a teaching, because I knew, staying in New Zealand, I'd want to get back into teaching.
Yes.
But I needed to get a New Zealand degree because my overseas qualification didn't, they accepted the Bachelor of Arts, but it wasn't a Bachelor in Teaching. So because it was Culture and Media Education.
Oh, it was not an equivalent over here.
Yeah, it wasn't enough. Yeah, you couldn't quite compare it.
Wow.
And so I had to do a 1 year level 7, like a graduate diploma.
Yeah.
So I did that, and I could do that online. So while I was leaving Wanaka and exploring these different places, I found a nanny job in Auckland. And then while I was studying and nannying there, I still did a bit of exploring to find my place. And then I read about Taranaki online. And on paper, it was like tick, 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 tick. It's all ticking all the boxes for me, like the size. And I remember looking up, is there a theater group? Yes, there's lots of theater groups. Is there Latin dancing happening? I remember looking that up as well. Yes, there is, like all these little things that I like doing. It's by the sea, and it's a bit off the beaten path, but I had never been. So I said to myself, I got to go, because paper's not enough. It's got to feel right.
Yeah.
So I visited, and I spent 3 weeks at Ahu Ahu's.
Oh, my gosh.
With Nula and Dave. Lovely, nice. Lovely people. I just helped out around the villas. And fell in love with the place. And I mean, great hosts as well. Really supportive. And then came back again a few months later because I came right at summer where the weather was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And so people were like, you need to come back when it's raining.
Yeah, make sure you come back in winter.
So I actually came, I think it was April, and it was again beautiful. I remember people saying, when you go to Taranaki, you're never going to see the maunga. It's not going to be there. Every time I was in Taranaki, I could see it.
Oh, it was a sign.
Yeah. And I need to. This feels good.
Well, we're very lucky to have you.
I feel very lucky to be here.
We love having you in Taranaki and all the beautiful mahi that you do with the children, and now with adults, and with everything that you do and all the theatre stuff you're involved in too. We're very glad that you picked Taranaki to be your home.
Easy pick.
Yeah. Well, we are out of time today. So for our listeners out there, come along to Art Space at Access Radio Taranaki and check out this beautiful collection of artwork by some wonderful, wonderful young people who Franzie has led through this amazing collaboration. And if you're interested in any of Franzie's sessions, classes, events, birthday parties, you can find Imagine Play Inspire on Facebook, Instagram, and there's a newsletter too.
You can sign up for that. There's a website.
Yeah. Get amongst it because it's fun, I promise. Lovely having you here today, Franzie.
Thanks, Taryn.
Mā te wā whānau.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.